It's your boy, Captain Colts.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Your boy, Cash here, featuring...
Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
The Wild Card.
And this is... Talking Like Champions! Welcome back to another edition of
Talking Like Champions.
It's your boy Captain Codes
and your boy Cash here, King Cash, Crazy Cash, aka Cool Cash, the one and only Cash, and back again,
Eddie L. You know the rest, ladies and gentlemen.
Eddie El Guapo.
Two here episodes again, in a row. Do you mainstay, hear that? Eddie El Guapo. Welcome in. New show regular here.
Is that breaking news?
You went from a recurring character to now a main character.
I think that's breaking news, guys.
Yeah, and it's not a...
Well, this is episode... It's 10.
Oh.
And we got to be perfect here, ladies and gentlemen. So.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Stuck it and landed.
Really did.
Which is why today is going to be a very special edition, because we don't normally talk about this, but today we're going to talk about it. All Elite Wrestling. AEW. Exactly. We don't really dive into AEW too much, but we do watch on a weekly basis.
Yeah, y'all caved me in and made me watch this, and yeah. I didn't watch all of it, no, but I made sure I watched at least all the highlights for each match, so I'm rocked in.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say that... AEW All In and Wembley Stadium was quite the spectacle. I thought the show was very, very enjoyable. What'd you think, Cash?
Oh, they snapped. I'm very critic and critique on AEW and the things that they do and the things I spot out. But that's just me growing up as a WWE fan. As a wrestling fan, nah, they killed the game. All In absolutely slapped pretty much head to toe. I'm ready to dive in. Get you to the details on what went down at Wembley.
Bunch of bangers. As a WWE fan, and I don't watch too much AEW. Times I have came on, I have not liked what I've seen that much. But I have to say, what an actual show. Just a complete show all around. Great, they did their job. I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay, I like that. I like that IGN rating there from Eddie El Guapo. This show, AEW, you know, a lot of people... This was the alternative wrestling. We all grew up on WWE. That's just what it is. We all grew up on Vince McMahon and the product that we know and love. And
of course.
If you're a wrestling fan, the 90s, the Attitude Era, if you're around our age, you know, we grew up in the Attitude Era. We were brought into it, and then we got to see that early 2004, 5, 6 runs with Eddie Guerrero's and all them guys. And that was great as well. But honestly, I was very excited for AEW as a whole when it first came into his existence. But every week I found something to say, I can't watch this. I cannot watch this. But every week I find myself back in, at least watching the highlights to figure out what the hell is going on.
That's the wrestling.
And I will say that AEW... On a week-to-week basis, their shows are all right. I mean, there's always great matches in between. There's always great athleticism and stuff like that sprinkled in. It's always been the storytelling for me. And like Cash has said on numerous occasions, is wrestling is a men's soap opera.
Oh, 100%.
I'm here for the stories. I'm here for great match quality as well. But I'm here for the stories. I want to know what the hell's happening. Oh, you remember when Vince McMahon got killed and then the next week he had to come back because someone actually died?
Yep.
And I wanted to know where that storyline was going, but
I'll say his name, Chris Benoit.
We've said it here before, but you know, so AEW, but I will say they do a very good job of their go home shows are always top notch.
I'll even go far and say they're like 2 weeks on, like those last couple shows leading
into
their big shows.
It's
because
they have so long of a build.
Yeah, they do really well when they get down to the nitty and gritty.
Even the Rampages and Collisions kind of slide.
No, they do. I just think that in between, sometimes when they're in a long gap between pay-per-views, goodness gracious me, when they're in a long gap of pay-per-views, I feel like they fall apart and lose the storylines at times. For All In, I'm ready to dive in because they really did great. So,
and again, they're back at Wembley, and I'm not sure the attendance for this year. I know last year was like 81,000. I want to say it hit around that same mark this year.
I really don't remember.
I can't either. I really should have
looked at that.
Put that notes in, you know, when I was setting up today's episode. But
nonetheless, we'll find that here as we go on, as we always tend to do. So
now we go ahead and we're gonna get 12 matches for AEW All In, and the first three were the pre-show 0 hour. We got a 2 hour 0 hour, which is always a nice little pre-show.
Yeah, but
that's a long day for wrestling. That was 6 hours worth of wrestling, though.
Yeah, and I watched pretty much all 0 hour because YouTube, it's just easier to pull up. You don't got to do anything else to watch it. Pull it right up. They started off with a 16-man tag team match.
Yeah, you heard that right. 16-man, not six.
8-on-8 showcasing most of the superstars that aren't big enough, per se, to be on the main card of All In or just didn't have a story. So they put a bunch of them together. Tommy Billington, Kip Sabian, Rocky Romero, Kyle Fletcher, Leo Rush, Action Andretti, and Top Flight on one side.
And AEW has a lot of those European guys that are from around those parts, so you got to kind of get everybody involved.
Yep, they had Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh, people like Anthony Ogogo on the other side, with Ari Daivari, Private Party, and Dark Order. You know, this was kind of weird because I don't watch AEW week in and week out, so I miss out who's faces and heels. I'm pretty sure that this was a big mix of
everybody.
Heels and faces on either side of the teams here. I can't remember.
No, it's not.
Is it not? Because
the heels
won
here.
So, yeah.
Lethal and Singh are now face because Jarrett's been face. Private Party was back as face because Top Flight turned heel.
Did they? So you're telling me Satnam Singh is face?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is he?
Or is Kyle Fletcher then turn face?
Exactly, you know? This is where I think they were mixing them up.
They change every fucking week, who knows?
This is where I think they were just mixing them up. But nonetheless, I'm not going to lie, the match was pretty good. 11 and a half minutes. Made the guys look good.
And for 16 men in a match, it's kind of hard to...
16 men. Yeah. Squeeze that in? That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good... And that's a good way to get... That's half the fucking roster getting involved on NXT. You know what I'm saying? Like, anyways, the second match was Willow Nightingale who is it? Tamahiro Ishii. And if you know, he's a legend in Japan.
Has no neck. Looks like a bulldozer. Hell of a Japanese superstar. Wrestler.
Took on Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway.
Yes, you heard that. Stokely Hathaway.
A.K.A. Malcolm Bivens.
He got in the ring.
He was decent.
And he hit one of the cleanest spine busters I've ever seen, I'll tell you that much. Turn right around, pay that some bitch up.
Ishii no-selling and then hitting the shit out of him. That was a great moment.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, it was a fun Nightingale match. And Ishii won this match. And the stipulation here was the CMLL Women's World Championship between Nightingale and Statlander at All Out. They got to choose a stipulation.
Yep. So I'm sure we'll find out more what that'll be here in the next...
we'll find that out on Dynamite, yeah. Rampage, or Collision, I'm sure.
Yep. And then after that, to round us out, we had another 10-man tag team match. Less men on this one, 5-on-5 here.
I actually got to watch this one.
Okay. So Von Erich, Sammy Guevara, Shibata, Dustin Rhodes, they defeated the Undisputed Kingdom.
Now they are
face. Agony. Yes, this was an easy pick, obviously. I'm going to go ahead and give you all my biggest gripe because I read about it online and saw some other people saying it.
Brian Cage and Sammy Guevara wearing a fucking Wolverine outfit.
I don't like it.
I get it. Honestly, I get it.
I know he's this Wolverine.
Exactly.
I get that.
And Sammy and...
Sammy and Dustin did
Dustin
Wolverine.
Dustin Poole were doing a nice...
Yeah, bro. They were Wolver Sam and Dustin Poole. I mean, come on, bro.
It was a nice... You know, it was a nice homage to
faces.
The movies and stuff. And their big comic here.
And funny,
know?
Yeah, you know. So, nonetheless, that was seriously my biggest takeaway. Otherwise, the match was pretty
you
good.
You should have had Brian Cage... It's okay if you wanted to wear the Wolverine. You could have did the tribute. Just wear the goddamn yellow and brown, brother.
Yep.
That's the first. He's the bad guy in that role.
You could have brown, black, like, red if you wanted to. Either way.
Hey, I don't like it, but it wasn't too confusing for me.
No, it's not. It's not that it was like.
It's like, why do it?
Yes, well, that's it. No, that's exactly.
No, it would be because if I was like, hey, bro, you want to come watch wrestling? And I turn it on, and you're like, the fuck's two Wolverine dudes fighting? You think they're on the same team?
No, true that.
So I, but
to the naked eye,
but to us as a wrestling
fan,
I know, like, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm not getting confused with Brian Cage and Guevara because one's fucking 6'3", 250 pounds, and the other's 5'11".
I'd get more
180.
I get more on them too because that's his thing already.
And like maybe they didn't talk about it.
We just don't know if it was Sammy or Brian Cage.
Well, Brian always does it, like we said.
I also don't like that as superstars, these men couldn't have just been like, oh man, hey, let's not wear the same thing. Like, come on, bro. I know y'all talked before this match, so. I mean, nonetheless,
I don't sit here and tell you what attire I'm going to wear.
I know y'all didn't like seeing that, but I did like seeing the last Von Erich brothers coming out there and giving the real claws.
The Iron Claw.
Yeah, it was a great homage, and I love seeing that. I love when they bring back oldies that don't actually wrestle. Just come in, give them part of the storyline, and I like that.
Well, that's because that's the kids right there, and they're able to come out there and do that shit. And Kevin was out, was at ringside.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
moving off of Zero Hour, we're actually going to dive into the main card. They kicked it off hot. We dove right in for the four-way London ladder match for the AEW World Trios Championship.
And yes, if you remember WrestleMania, we had, what, a six-man tag? I'm sorry. 16 tag.
Of two, so that was 12 people. So here, you're doing a four-way trios. This is another 12 men. I'm not against this at all. This was a great, fun little match. Let's go ahead and say the champions coming into this match. You already know Christian Cage, the father. You know, him and the patriarchy. Bang Bang Gang in this match. House of Black. But the big story is, and new AEW World Trios champions, Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio and Wheeler Yuta, and you'd think I'd say a third person from the group? No. Pac.
Is the new member.
I don't think it's official, but it's definitely got to go there because why? Why is
we'll
Pac?
Touch on it more by the end of the show, but Pac definitely seemed BCC to me. I could maybe see a heel turn coming. But it also, if you remember, this was supposed to be Penta and Rey Fénix,
exactly,
the death triangle with Pac, probably going to win this spot, but they don't want to resign.
Well,
and they want to go to the WWE.
I know more about BBC than BCC itself, but I do hope Pac can join their group because it will make more sense. Like that, how they're, if you're editing stuff like how Paul Levesque would, it does make sense for him to actually join the club. But maybe they will just have him as a leader role and kick him out. Look how what happened to Judgment Day.
Yeah. Nonetheless, new champions.
Then we had the timeless one, Toni Storm, defending her AEW Women's World Championship.
This was my match of the night.
Against Mariah May. And this storyline, this was one of the best storylines. And not just AEW, but professional wrestling this year.
Amazing work.
And that's why Mariah came here, because apparently Toni pitched this idea to her before she signed, and they ended up going through. And good on Toni Khan for that, for everyone that, and we're sometimes some of the people that say it, for that criticize the booking or don't like certain stuff. But
this was, has been amazing.
Everybody's got their own style, so I'm cool with it. And hey, I'm glad that this story came full circle and Mariah May was able to walk out as your new AEW World Women's Champion.
What a match. Just brutal. I love those shots.
And it's the right call. It was the right call.
And that was a soap opera, if any.
And I'd say the four-way London ladder match as well. You probably could have gave it back to House of the Black, but really, Blackpool Combat Club, the whole thing with Pac winning in the home country. Good on them. Good booking.
Yeah. No, and you had to give somebody their moment home, so that's good.
Then we had to go to the Learning Tree.
The who?
Hi, guys! Listen, I'm going to go ahead and shut all the haters up. Big Dale and Brian Keith. Let me get this off my chest because people are going to argue, and one might be even in the room. I don't know how Guapo feels, but I still love Chris Jericho, man. Is he getting old? Absolutely. Can he not go like he used to? Absolutely. But guess what he can do? Still do a damn lion salt. Okay? He's not that old. I can't do that, to be honest. And I'm, what, 25 years younger? So, look, this gimmick was stupid. When it first started, so stupid. I love it.
But isn't anything he's ever really done been considered stupid at some point? The list was stupid, but everybody loved it.
It wasn't even the Learning Tree Versus. This was the Jericho Vortex, and he knows that us as fans all talk shit and, superstars / wrestlers get caught and stuck in the Jericho Vortex and they're locked in it forever, a.k.a. Hook, stuck in the same storyline with Jericho for 6 months.
That's just that AEW thing, though, I feel like.
And that's how people feel, and I hate that they say that about Jericho, is my point, because I still love him, I still think he's great, and I still think he did exactly what he needed to do, and he made Hook better.
I feel like he needs to be fighting either different wrestlers or something, because something's wrong with his pacing now. Like, either he's not used to his own new pace, and he's trying to keep up with his old self, or he needs to just slow the fuck down. Just little stuff, little things seem like they don't have chemistry, but they've been wrestling with each other prior to this 6 months before already. They've known each other. So,
and let's be honest, they were both in WWE because Hook grew up around Chris Jericho. Yeah, so, you know, like, Jericho was already giving him pointers, just like Dom. All the shit.
Come on. It goes far, but I just feel Chris Jericho. His character work will never be discredited by me. I can never do that.
This FTW thing, like, this title's cool and all. Like, it's basically their hardcore championship, but they don't do enough with it. Like, we keep seeing the same consistent algorithm here where it's three matches for the title and then the guy will win it and then go on to the next and then maybe that guy comes back. Like, it was Hook, it was Ricky Starks, it was Hobbs. They were all together and then they fought for the title and then Hook got the belt again and now it was Jericho and now Hook's winning it again. And like, I get it, that's Taz's belt, that's his dad's shit, and like, but in reality, like, this has no meaning or implications of anything. Like, yeah, you can put, oh, he's a three-time FTW championship, but really, no offense to the AEW, but what the fuck does it mean? Like,
well, if they're going
because
to,
if we can start getting some more consistent stories with it, then I'm all
well. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, they've already tried that.
Maybe Taz has helped because he helped them with the match. So maybe they're trying to work something with more of a storyline with that now.
And every time the title's involved in a match, it's a good match. It's just the title itself feels just like
irrelevant.
It's just a piece. It's just a fucking paperweight. It's like an Infinity Stone.
Well, maybe that's why it's
out there in
hands
WandaVision.
Taz was going to tell him, maybe, hey, it's time for me. I take this thing back. You don't need it anymore. You've done your job. You've learned. Go for something bigger now, kid. And now maybe we take that title away. Now we turn it to a storyline.
Because Hook should be fighting for the TV or the TNT Championship.
And maybe that's what's next now. Maybe you do go that route. So who knows? Watch the product and we'll find out. Right, guys? Right. Moving on. Triple threat three-way tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team
EVPs. Nicholas and Matthew Jackson.
And still, as they defeated FTR, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood, and the Acclaimed.
Sorry, I didn't get to scissor me daddy ass tonight.
I'm kind of done with the Young Bucks, to be honest, man.
Why? Okay, so hold on.
I like
to go.
The gimmick.
He's not a wrestling... up to wrestling par of AEW with us, kind of like we are. We pay attention to more. Rumor has it, reading around on everybody and opinions and rumors, and they're just kind of read the same thing. They're over them. Why are you over them, coming from someone who doesn't partake and pay attention as much as an avid wrestling fan would?
Because as an avid just fan of
avid
wrestling,
AEW fan,
when
AEW fan,
when
sorry,
anytime I have watched AEW, they're on, and even if they're not doing the same thing, they're the same character. It's kind of like Mark Wahlberg in a movie. You just know it's Marky Mark. Like, it's The Rock in a movie. He does the same thing still. Like, it's not a character development to me. It's always them. It's always the same thing with the tag team championships. Like, okay. Tag teams eventually, like, New Day to me, they're sad to say, they build up teams just to break them up.
But after 10 years, it's okay because you did it with the Usos, and now you have Main Event Jey Uso, and everybody's yeeting everywhere.
Literally, so.
But now Jimmy's like just left in the fucking the winds until he comes back, and then they're gonna bring him back together eventually. But
exactly, they can break up. Team 3D has broken up. I'm tired.
Hardy, bro. I mean, everybody's broken up. I mean, because ultimately, that is the story, though.
It's that breakup
after so long. Like, that's what you want, because we traveled together for 10 years. We're best friends. We know each other in and out. You're damn right I want to go out and just like the Usos, I want to have a match at WrestleMania with my tag team partner, because I already know we've trained every day. We've practiced all the moves that we do on everybody else against each other. We could put on a banger. Don't know why that wasn't able to happen with the Usos, per se. I don't know. I think they just got into the moment and it ate them alive a little bit, maybe.
I don't know. But I will tell you. The Acclaimed should have won. That's all. They should have won. I feel like they're getting that heat, that spark back.
But we were
a little bit, because they were trying to go trios titles for a minute, and they had them, and then
scissor me, daddy.
So I feel what you're saying. Because
they got the trios
but
titles,
Young Bucks
and it was
are
cool,
still
but
on
then
their
just
thing.
Kind of fell off.
Okada's
right
still doing his thing. They're still got this EVPs. That's just,
and I guess
that's their gimmick. It's gonna all come. What, Revolution? That's what they consider their WrestleMania, from my understanding.
That's when it'll all come crashing down, per se.
Well, they would probably lose, or hell, you could even see it at All Out.
Too soon.
But I don't think that's
like
the case.
You said too soon.
That's what I'm saying. You got to keep on going.
Jack Perry just retained the title and everything like that.
Not to mention, we did get a debut of some guys that are actually from England as well. Former NXT superstars Zach Gibson and James Drake. Grizzled Young Vets. And I'm not going to lie, I'm excited because they're a hell of a tag team. I'm upset, you know, obviously that they left WWE and NXT and stuff like that. But it's because they got into that rhythm of once they got into Schism, they weren't able to build their character any further than
that. Yeah, no, that was as far as it was going
to
go.
And that was like, they were like, we're done. You guys have basically, you know, we needed to get to, they needed to go to the main roster and start fighting some of these teams. And because guys like that, like, when you don't really know some people, you know, like you said about these tag teams, that's how you build them. Like, Paul Lennon and Brian Kendrick, like, yeah, like, Lennon was good as a singles guy, and so was Kendrick. They had both, like, one, you know, Cruiserweight Championship or whatever.
You put them together.
You put them together, and everybody's like, damn, these dudes slide. Like, and that's, like, to me, that's the New Age Axiom and Nathan Frazier. They're basically Paul Lennon and Brian Kendrick. And because a lot of people would be like, oh, A-Kid is not really that good, or, you know, Axiom or whatever. Now you see these tag teams and like, shit, I can't wait till they fight one-on-one. They're going to absolutely have a banger. But I don't think you need to break them up yet either.
Yeah.
So the whole, you know, tag team thing. So I'm cool with it. But they actually looked like they were going to be the faces here in their hometown and turned heel and attacked FTR. So, siding with the EVPs for now until the eventual go for the tag team championships. But, hey, I'm excited for it. Excited to see Grizzled Young Vets and AEW in the fold because they do have a good tag team division. Looking forward to it. Then it brings us to the Casino Gauntlet match for a future AEW World Championship match.
Great booking here.
We get to see...
The marks will argue.
We get to see it. Couple of debuts in ring at AEW here. Let me just start off. Obviously, I thought Hangman Page was going to win this match because it would have made sense for storyline. You could have pushed it on, blase, blase. But obviously, we had Christian Cage coming out on top, defeating Kyle O'Reilly.
Great booking. That's where the marks get mad. It's
but
great booking.
Because Christian Cage was already in a match of the night, but hey, guess what? He deserves the AEW World Championship. He didn't win it because he won the TNA because Kenny Omega was hot then when Christian was hot. So now they're coming back around. It's like LA Knight finally getting the championship. And we're cool with that.
And
we did get to see the debut of Ricochet.
I also barely recognized O'Reilly, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. O'Reilly is a completely different character.
As I look at...
Like I said, we got to see the debut of Ricochet. And, like, the Ricochet thing's cool and everything. I was excited. But it's the same thing. He literally came to be thrown right back to the mid-card into AEW. Hopefully,
which is an unproven thing as of now, but that's just how we feel.
But
based
hopefully,
on how his debut went.
Hopefully it'll, you know, hopefully he's supposed to fight Kyle Fletcher here on Dynamite, I believe.
That's
and that'll
be
lead to him and Ospreay.
Banger,
so I'm excited for his run, obviously.
They won't get Smith Irvin.
And then we also had...
Confirmed.
Who was it that confirmed? That also, he returned to the match. Dude's been out for a long time. None other than you said, if I was at work, I happened to peek real quick, and I said, who's that that just hit Okada?
Dude, at first, to the old wrestling fans who might remember, I was like, is that KM? And I was like, this big dude. I was like, nah. And I'm like, coming back, I'm at work, and I look again, and holy shit, it's Nigel McGuinness. Nigel McGuinness. I started freaking out, bro. That's my dog right there. Can't believe he came off the announce table and got in this match and didn't just do a couple things and he was done. Man was sliding in that ring. It was crazy. He can definitely still go. So I'll come back to that later because we're going to need one more out of you, buddy.
Then we...
Christian Cage, the right winner here. Marks get mad, though. That's my final.
Christian Cage will win the AEW World Championship.
I'm telling you. That's my final say, and the marks will get even more mad. But we'll leave it alone.
Then I can't decide if this or the main event was match of the night, but Will Ospreay taking on MJF for the AEW American Championship.
And new AEW International Champion Will Ospreay wins it back in an absolute bang.
Ospreay,
guapo.
Ospreay beating my boy Friedman down. Yeah, y'all may call him MJ. I call him Friedman. We know each other like that.
Expect MJF to put on storytelling classics, and right here, this was nothing but it. Because how did he win?
Oh, because he had to do it.
What move did he do?
He had to do it. The Tiger. Driver
told him that
the only move that MJF said would put him away was going to be that move.
Yep,
and he did it
after getting the okay from Bryan Danielson a week ago saying, "Do it." If there's one guy who deserves it, it's him. Do it. And he stewed on it, and he eventually decided to pull the trigger and do it. And
I couldn't be happier. In the Apollo Creed, too.
And, you know, this was a 25-minute match. They had a banger. I'm sure Meltzer will give this a 5-star. Hard to argue with it, to
hard
be
to
honest.
Argue with that one. I think Meltzer will be right.
Felt like it was really good. Then we had Mercedes Moné.
Sasha Banks.
Defending the AEW TBS Championship against the DMD, Britt Baker.
Otherwise known as Adam Cole's wife.
Exactly. And we had Camille ringside for Moné.
About time she showed up, by the way. I haven't spoke about that. Camille's been signed to AEW for I don't know how long, and she finally shows up. So congrats to her showing up on TV finally.
This match was pretty solid. It had a couple of felt like either Britt had some ring rust, or maybe these two might have a little tension. Tension between the two. I'm thinking maybe Britt Baker, from the rumors that I'm reading or the reports that I'm reading, you know, rumor has it. Mark Henry was talking about it on Busted Open, and he felt like Britt Baker was sandbagging a bit. They set up for a spot on the top rope, and she didn't look like she really wanted to take that move, and Moné had to change it up. And, you know, like, nothing on Mercedes. Like, she's only so strong. She's a smaller
Well, that's kind
female.
Of what I was
Britt's
say.
A little bit stockier. Like,
I feel like love Sasha Banks, a.k.a. Mercedes Moné.
Sometimes she tries to do too many moves that...
Yes, she tries to overdo it. I feel like she tries to do too much, just like her finisher. Like, her finisher's tough when it's hit on the right person. And
I thought it looked good.
Yes, thank God it looked good on the big stage with Britt Baker. Britt Baker hit flat, as she should.
And I felt the transition at the end there could have been a little bit better because she already had her in the backslide. I think that's where I think these are some of the moments that, like, Mark Henry was talking about, because when Britt Baker hits the backslide, Mercedes rolls out and she kind of picks her up already. Then she has to drop her down, reverse, and then hit the move again to put her out with the moneymaker. And it was just like, I felt like she could have just hit it all in one motion. It would have looked cleaner. 1, 2, 3, good transition.
Not a terrible match at all, but at the same time, I think it was probably my weakest match on the card.
Then we had a really quick match. It was actually the quickest match of the night.
Yeah,
on the main show.
On the main show, yes.
10 minutes, 40 seconds for a coffin match between Darby Allin and Jack Perry
and
for the TNT Championship.
And Darby is going to show out.
Darby finally gets defeated in the casket match. He was undefeated.
Yep.
Did
you guys notice how he came
10 out? 10 minutes for these boys was 20 minutes for everybody else because the pace of this match was continuous the entire time.
But did you notice Darby's face when he walked out in his entrance? Any of you guys? No.
Yeah, he had the, the tacks
glued to his face.
Yeah, that shit was
like
wild.
Like this.
He ended up getting busted open.
Yes.
Cry me a river, but there were some real spots. They had some glass there.
Yes, you can't say that was.
They were chanting fuck CM Punk out there at All In. Like, hey, like, it don't matter. If you're WWE, if you're CM Punk, you're fucking smiling because regardless... You chant CM Punk, regardless if it's fuck CM Punk or whatever. That dude's getting chanted in every goddamn building every week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What'd you think, Guapo? Did you like the coffin match? I think it was good. They brought out the body bag and all.
I loved it. I love the coffin.
A dragon of the ring.
I love the actual coffin drop itself, too. It's always amazing onto it.
I love the size of the coffin, and then all of a sudden they moved it, and I said, oh, that thing's, like, weightless. Oh, I love it.
The fact that, and then I kind of want, maybe I'm a pyro, but I wanted to see Darby maybe burn a little bit first. Maybe Sting came out a little later. Oops,
yeah, but
spoiled it.
Sting! Was there to save Darby Allin. He said he'd watch over him even when he was retired, so.
Yep, sticking to the quota, he is retired.
Good on AEW to bring him out. It's just like having Undertaker come out to chokeslam somebody.
Yeah, man,
that's
cool.
All.
They had a moment. It was
badass.
Nothing bad about it. And he came out to the old music, too. It was dope, so.
Then we had the main event.
Oh, the main event. The main event. Since we're actually talking about AEW, I'm allowed to say it like that. Actually, it doesn't work there.
This match, I have not had my emotions played with in a wrestling match this much in a very long time, and I love it.
I watched this entire match in its entirety.
Yeah,
it was emotional, and it was a great match.
Really,
the fact of the kids. I'm kicking it off with the kids, man. Oh my God. You had the kids ringside.
Buddy and Birdie.
And old enough to know and see it.
That's what made it really sit in, where it was like,
Birdie cried looking at her dad in blood, and Swerve was just laying into him, and I was like, this is
storytelling, phenomenal, and I expected out of these two.
It looked like
Swerve slowly creeping in to becoming the top wrestler in the world.
They truly fought like they didn't like each other.
He's in the top 10 for sure.
Put Swerve in an argument right now.
And even how the kickouts at the end, those one, two, were so questionable at the end. I loved every part of this match. It was...
And then he no-sells the Psycho Knee into the corner.
Oh, my God. Brushed it off his chest and fucking Swerve kicked him with the house call. Oh, my God.
House called the piss out of him. I was like, oh, shit, it's over. Daniel's done. He's got... Danielson
was there on his knees and reaching for Birdie.
He said, I'm sorry.
He even barely kicked out. He even barely kicked out of one. I forgot which move it was, but barely kicked out.
Oh, I remember. Yeah,
right. Short shoulder, just a little bit. And I was like, whoa.
I remember that.
I didn't know if it was a miscue or something, but it was...
It was like, when he looked real hurt. It was after they said he might have broke his arm.
And just,
I remember that spot. Excalibur said something.
And ultimately locks in the LaBelle lock. Locks in the yes lock in this moment and makes him have it.
And Swerve had never tapped out in AEW.
Nope. And a beautiful moment occurred at that moment. The emotions, the tears, the real feelings of watching one of your favorites, one of the legends, one of the GOATs for sure, arguably one of the best, if not the best, wrestler in the world.
And we can't forget, really, this match we thought was over. We thought it was all said and done. They played it out a couple good spots with Nana and Swerve.
Of course, they had to have
and
a little bit of moment.
Hangman came out there, distracted Swerve, and that's really what set it up for Danielson to be able to lock in that LaBelle lock.
In the back of my head, he was always coming, but then the match turned out to be so beautiful as it that I forgot, and I was like, it won't happen.
I never forgot.
But I told myself
Was like, he hasn't came yet. There's no way he doesn't come.
And how perfect was it, man? He hardly got involved.
This was actually only 10 minutes longer than the Ospreay match. I mean, 10 seconds
10
longer.
Seconds, yeah.
So this was a...
The Ospreay MJF and the Casino Gauntlet match are at roughly 26 minutes. So, nonetheless, beautiful main event. What a way to close. Questions are raised. You're wondering now, he's the world champion. What happens next? You go to the post-media scrum, and he has Birdie there for most of his interview. You guys should check it out.
She wants him home.
Yeah, she wants him home. And he said, there's no way I can argue with that. And basically signed, yes, he is going to retire. He is coming home. Now the question is just when. I don't think we have much longer of Bryan Danielson, but I will say that...
he faces Darby at Grand Slam. And where's Grand Slam?
Washington.
It's in Washington. Isn't Darby from Washington?
No, I don't know if Grand Slam's in Washington. Give me a minute. World's End? No, Wrestle Dream. I'm sorry.
Oh, Wrestle Dream.
Yes, I haven't looked at the date. My apologies, guys. I haven't looked at the date.
Darby's the first... challenger for that title because he won the
gauntlet. Don't think Darby wins because Wrestle Dream is in Washington here in like a month or two. It's before the end of the year is over. So I think there's, you know, we get our John Cena picked Daniel Bryan to fight him at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship.
But
Daniel Bryan won. Now I think Bryan Danielson will have somebody lined up or picked, or they will storyline it out to where he has chosen said person to go against him at Wrestle Dream in Washington.
Who would that be?
That would be it. Okay, I'll fantasy, but it'd be crazy if it was like Zack Sabre or something just to like... finally can say I am the best wrestler, I am better than you, and he took his world title and it's somebody from another company. Like, that could be some crazy turns and twists. I don't see that happening, but that was my fantasy book. You have Darby with a shot, yes. I really think Christian Cage is gonna beat him.
Bryan Danielson, I heard that you had a father and I heard that he's dead. I know that he died 10 years ago.
Come on. I mean,
tell Birdie.
Oh, but Grandpa's not. Oh, no, God, no. Okay, so, yeah, they could, though. They really could. I believe Christian Cage has done some of, if not the best work in his freaking career, and it's crazy. That man is aged like fine wine. We'll just see how it goes. Nonetheless, all in, slapped. Great night. Emotional ending. Banger matches. Very little low points of the evening. Solid. Absolutely solid.
Great work.
Yeah. Guapo, you enjoyed AEW from what you know of it and the highlights and watching some of those matches.
Actually did.
Now you might tune into Dynamite this Wednesday.
We'll see. Don't go ahead.
At least the highlights.
Yeah, at least the highlights.
All right. Hey, you got to pull them in.
And look, we
want to
do more AEW special shows. We do have another AEW correspondent who watches and
Die Hard
much more, which is great. So we'd love to have his opinion on. Maybe we'll turn this triple
threat. Laser. Oh, sorry.
Maybe we'll turn this triple threat to a fatal four way. But I guess that's it, guys. Can we leave you with something before we go, please?
Yeah, give
Guapo,
them.
You got one.
I got.
okay. Here we go.
You got one for him?
Yes. This one should be easy. And we all have discovered this already recently together. Not very recently. We remembered it, I guess. If you guys can remember the last person Randy Orton defeated for a World Heavyweight Championship, please, I will repeat it one more time. Guys,
I know who it is.
The last person, Randy Orton, the Viper, the legend killer himself, beat for the World Heavyweight Champion. It will, and a bonus if you remember the pay-per-view.
Okay, well, I'll answer it on the next show when we come back to it because I feel like I know it, but it might be a trick question.
Speaking of that, answers from last week questions. Who gave Shinsuke Moore his first main roster loss? Jinder Mahal!
Don't hinder that Jinder!
And Andre the Giant has only, unfortunately, only held the world title once. And this was one of the shortest reigns in history. I think the shortest, because he handed over to the Million Dollar Man himself, Ted DiBiase. And
I'll leave you guys with a comedic one. Go ahead and watch that. El Torito versus Swoggle. In the WLC match. What a banger by them little men right there, I swear to God.
That shit did slap, boy. Not the WLC, baby.
Hey, on that note.
That's okay. And just because we're on the topic this week of AEW, let's go ahead and give them an AEW match.
Okay, lay it on.
Go ahead and watch Swerve Strickland taking on Will Ospreay. It's pretty recent. Very good match. It was on TV for free. Just know, it slid.
It did.
And this has been episode 10 for Sean Spears. This is Talking Like Champions, because we're the chairman. We're out.
See ya. Boop.